Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, and we're going to kick things off this hour with our good friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How's it going over there?
All right, how about yourself there?
Not doing bad. Enjoying this nice sunrise that we got this morning. A little cloudy out there, and certainly the temperatures are a little low, but that's Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, certainly been living up to that billing here lately, and still a blustery cold day today here with the cloud cover. Hey, some peaks of sun coming in here and there as we head further through the day, though, with those low 40s for highs. North wind still cranked up around 20 to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, 26 for the low. Northwest winds 10 to 20. And then for Wednesday, with a mix of clouds and sun, talking about mid-40s, northwest winds 10 to 15, upper 20s on Wednesday night. And then a nice warming trend here for the end of the week here. Thursday, 51, partly to mostly sunny. 33 Thursday night, 63 with some sunshine Friday, still some sun Saturday, mid-60s. Even upper 60s Sunday with a partly sunny sky. And rain chances looking to pick up here later Sunday night into Monday with highs from the upper 60s Sunday to some mid-60s on Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Always appreciate the time, Paul. You have a great day, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Oh, sounds good to you, too.
Mm-hmm. Big thank you to the Weather Eye Weather Center. Love our friends over there. It is 32 in Stevens Point, 29 in Marshfield, 31 in Wausau, and they heard Paul, 30 here in Wisconsin Rapids. Going to get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in a little bit. Looking forward to it. Right now, things that young adults think their parents' generation got right.
Oh.
And we never hear this. We never hear these things.
Complimenting the older generation? Let's do it.
This is one of those things I'd love to see a little bit more of.
Yeah, for sure.
Generations, building up other generations instead of just tearing them down all the time. These young people today, blah, 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 blah. Or these old people today, blah, 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 blah. Tired of all of it.
Right, right.
We pick on each other. That's what we do as human beings. I'm not trying to get rid of that.
Right, but there is so much we can learn from each other.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for every little thing that we can, poke fun of and everything, there are a thousand things that we can learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we need each other.
Yes.
The most ridiculous thing in the world is you can't get rid of any one part of the, any one generation. We all need each other. We're all mm-hmm. here because of the other ones. We need the older generations to pave the way for us so that we can be here to do these things, the trailblazers that they are, and the young generation to keep that going.
Right. We need the knowledge of the older generation and the strength and vigor of the younger generation. They go hand in hand.
Seems like a really smart system. It's interesting how the world works. It's Boomers take a lot of ribbing from young people for the uncool things that they do, including silly stuff like thumbs up emojis and these things that we've heard recently. that kind of stuff. And young people are taking take a lot of heat from older people for a wide variety of things. But now young adults are talking about things that their parents' generation got right. And highlighting these things and promoting them a little bit more and talking about them a little bit more. And nobody told them to do this. This isn't some ad campaign. It's not a TikTok video. Nothing like that. It just started to, organically happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty darn cool.
That is cool. Huh. Because there are good things that happen in every generation. We need to highlight those and sometimes bring them back.
Yeah.
Like recyclable items. Like glass. Let's put things in glass. Not so much plastic.
Here are some of the things they highlighted, like neighborhood watches. Mm-hmm. Not sharing everything about their lives like people do on social media. yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I don't need to know that you had trouble tying your shoes today. You don't have to post everything.
I could have lived without that information.
Yeah. Fixing things. Yeah, yeah. Learning how to fix stuff, learning how to do things on your car or in your house. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you got to be able to do all the plumbing take out your carburetor and things like that. But learning the basics of stuff not only make you feel good being doing those things, it can save you a lot of money. It can be a lot of that too.
Mm-hmm.
Affordable housing. Hospitality to total strangers, helping neighbors, and, quote, community in general.
Mm-hmm.
Super simple hiring, where you could just walk into a place and ask for a job. Having real art and not mass-produced decor or NFTs and things like that. And owning physical copies of music and movies rather than just digital everything.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's kind of an interesting thing to me, too, just as a side story here. The rise of people wanting vinyl, wanting physical copies of their, like, people that don't, I know that how silly this is going to sound to people out there, but I know of people who don't even own a DVD player, but still will buy a DVD, not all of them, but just buy, like, the new Star Wars that came out some years ago or something like that, because they have all the other Star Wars on DVD and they just love having a physical copy of something, even though they downloaded it and, you know, paid for a digital copy. There's a lot of that.
But then don't have a DVD player?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know people who do this. Yeah. It's a collector thing.
Okay.
And it's part collector and it's part nostalgia. Ask anybody out there, and ask any collector out there, especially like action figures and baseball cards and stuff. Like, how often do you play with them? Never.
Right.
Never. I didn't take it out of the pack. None of that. And so it's very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to do all with nostalgia, really. And the idea. Like, I think our generation, Melissa, I think we missed out on some stuff, too. Albums. Like, you know, when you got a CD and it, like, unfolded to a bunch of stuff, it was kind of cool, but it was pretty rare.
You had all the lyrics there.
Yeah, that was cool. But, like, almost every album, like, especially the album, I look at my dad's albums and all that, they're art. Like, there's all kinds of cool stuff in them and everything. And the things that the creativity that they had with them was so much different.
Yeah. And we don't have that with when you download music on Spotify or YouTube or any of the other listening platforms. You don't have any of that.
Yeah. And I don't know. I thought at first, well, you're not going to miss what you don't know. So younger generations, they're not going to grow up with CDs and DVDs and all this. So what are they going to miss? But it turns out they miss it, too. And they didn't even grow up with it.
Well, and then some of those things on that list, like being able to repair stuff, having stuff that is repairable. And there has been some talk about that with cell phones and other electronic devices, but things like vacuum cleaners, dishwashers, some major appliances, a lot of it is not built to repair anymore. It's built to throw away, and that's terrible for our environment.
Yeah. Well said. There's nothing I can add to that. You're dead on. I love the idea, too, of going back on some of these things and relearning some of them, or just I like the conversations that can be created from this.
Mm-hmm.
That part is I like as much us communicating a little bit more with each other.
Well, and then the talk, too, about the neighborhood watch or community related things. Those are things that brought us together. Those are things that you create a community within your, say, your neighborhood or your block or the area that you live in. You have relationships with the people that live around you versus just, you know, shutting your doors and windows and putting up fences and living in your own little bubble. Mm-hmm. That brings togetherness. That brings and promotes unity and conversation and getting to know people who have different lives and different interests than us. Those things are very important, and I think we've gotten away from that quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And along with that, to piggyback off it, hospitality to total strangers, helping neighbors, as you said, that stuff goes a long way, especially after, you know, we had some years where we couldn't go to our neighbor's house. We had a stretch there just recently where we had to stay inside and these things. Mm-hmm. That means that there are kids out there that are going to grow up, and that's some of their earliest memories.
Right.
So especially as an example to kids in the youngest generation, not even talking about the two generations we're talking about here, but the youngest generation, them seeing how we're this community involvement, this being engaged in your community, being engaged with your neighborhood and you're knowing your neighbors and these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That all is going to add up and go a long way.
Yeah. And it's important for us to be able to come together like that.
Mm hmm. Now, the one thing I will say, though, that is a little bit of a catch is a, quote, affordable housing. That is a little debatable, I think.
Well, what do you mean, debatable?
Well, that it exists. Period.
It used to.
Right. Yes.
That's a long, long time ago.
It existed when they were going, when, you know, mm-hmm. they were our age, it existed. Mm-hmm. But now at our age, that's such a difficult thing to wrap your mind around. There's so many people in my age group, in our age group, I should say, Melissa, that don't even think about owning a home. They don't even think about it. It's as far-fetched as winning the lottery or getting hit by lightning or something. That ain't right. That's something that needs to be worked out more.
And discussed a lot more, because the price of rent now is far, far, far greater in a lot of areas than the cost of a mortgage.
Yeah.
But the ability to get a mortgage for a house is something that a lot of us can't do.
Yeah.
Just can't do it, even though we could afford it.
Yep. There's a lot of people that don't even have the option. They walk into a bank to get a loan and they're laughed at right away. Or it's one of those revolving doors where you walk in and you're walking out 2 seconds later kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there to discuss as well.
Yeah. And yet somebody can get a loan to have a restaurant just for dogs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That exists.
It's a weird, weird world we live in.
It's yeah. Yeah. That's. mm-hmm. We'll come back and we'll get into some fun with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to diving into that in just a few minutes right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It is 8:19 on the clock, and we're going to dive right into some fun celebrating. That means since it's 8:20, that means that Misty's is open. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week in 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get to Misty's, wish them a good morning from all of us at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa, I'm going to need you to do some long-distance work here.
Oh man!
I know. I apologize. I need a one. Yeah. I need a one or a two.
Ooh! Well, at least you didn't make me work too hard today. I'm gonna pick one.
All right, there we go. Gets us to our qualify. We have two birthdays to celebrate today, so we want to first off wish a very happy birthday to Sarah Sweets.
Ah, happy birthday, Sarah!
Enjoy your day, Sarah. Hope it's a good one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And our qualifier today, Bailey Flowers.
Oh, happy birthday, Bailey. Congratulations.
Congrats, Bailey. Hope you enjoy it. And that's a beautiful name, Bailey Flowers. Mm-hmm. That's a great name.
Yeah, both names today, Sarah Sweets, Bailey Flowers.
Those are great names, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Congrats to Bailey, and thanks so much to whoever got us this birthday and anniversary, both these birthdays. Get more of them to us, everybody, info@WFHR.com or James@WFHR. Get us. You can also like our Facebook page and direct message us your birthdays and anniversaries that way. And do want to send a happy 42nd anniversary for Pam's cousin, Kathy, and Bob Meyer, who live in southwestern Wisconsin.
Happy anniversary.
Kathy grew up in Wisconsin Rapids here, so.
Aww.
Happy 42nd year,
really
too.
Nice.
Let's see. 40 is, let me double check. 40 is a ruby.
Ooh.
So 45 is a sapphire. So something in between a ruby and a sapphire, you guys. That's what you got to do. That's
something purple, then.
Yeah, there you go. Nice, nice.
Amethyst.
Ah, good choice, Melissa. Nice. Well done. Let's go ahead and take a look at our celebrity list here. And first up, Zac Efron is 35.
Ah, yep. He was born today.
Yeah, Zac Efron's 35. His abs are 20. That's a handsome kid. Handsome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about his acting, I'll be honest, but I did watch a show called Down to Earth on Netflix he did.
Okay.
And that he seems like a very genuine, legitimate human being. He traveled the whole world with another guy, a friend of his, and just kind of putting a focus and a highlight on these communities and these things that are getting done that are really impacting the whole world.
Wow.
It was really, really well done. It was a very cool thing to watch, and he did a nice job hosting it. I thought he was very talented with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Lindsey Vonn is 38, one of the greatest American skiers of all time. You can make the argument that Lindsey is the GOAT at this. I know that she had a rough... I know the recent Winter Olympics, all anybody wanted to talk about and put a camera on her, and she was struggling. And there was a couple of moments there that really I thought were very horribly done by NBC, where they just kind of kept the camera on her and things like that. But on the other side of that, she couldn't have handled that situation better. I don't know how I would handle it, let alone if I was, you know, going through so many of these things. It's not just Lindsay. Other skiers have gone through this, too. But I do admire a lot of the work that she's done.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jean-Claude Van Damme is 62.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Speaking of amazing athletes, Martina Navratilova is 66, one of the best tennis players of all time.
Okay.
Martina, one of the greats.
You would know.
Loved watching her play. Love watching her play. Incredible tennis player. Incredibly creative guy. Chuck Lorre is 70 today. Creator of Two and a Half Men, the producer of The Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, Mike and Molly, the Anna Faris sitcom Mom. Yeah, Chuck Lorre's got quite the body of work.
Yeah, looks like it.
One of the first people that I really genuinely enjoyed watching her work and just her acting and enjoyed her and probably had a crush on her as a young kid, too. Pam Dauber is 71 today. The Mindy of Mork and Mindy.
Aww.
Pam Dauber was underappreciated by almost everybody in the acting community except for Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters, who worked with her every day on set. Maybe you noticed this. I don't know. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. Robin happened to be a bit of a wild card.
Just didn't know what was coming.
And young Robin, and I've heard him talk about this in interviews and everything, and he, like, every chance he got, he would give just respect and love to Pam Dauber and talk about her. And a couple of them in particular, he would talk about at a young age, as a young performer, you want to make every scene huge. You want to make every scene big. And the writers realized early on, well, we write good stuff, but what this guy's coming up with in his brain, let's go with that. Let's let him use that. And so they would let him improv quite a bit. And that's really cool. And Robin got the spotlight, and Robin's career, you know, sped off where it did and everything. But he would be the first to tell you, they can't use those scenes. We don't see anything as people if the actors he's working with can't balance off of that. If they can't learn to improv themselves and improv with him. And nobody had to do that more than Pab Dauber. She did not come from that background. The fact that she adapted and worked so well and made that show so successful, it's as equal parts Robin as it is her with that work that she did. And selfishly, I'm very thankful for it because a 7-year-old me saw that TV show and immediately realized what I wanted to do the rest of my life. And as much as I give Robin credit for that, she was a huge part of it as well. Joe Morton is 75. Arthur Finner on God Friended Me. He's Eli Pope in Scandal. He was in Terminator 2. Great character actor. Great character actor. NFL Hall of Famer and arguably one of the greatest tight ends of all time, Mike Ditka is 83 today.
Wow.
I apologize, everybody, as a true Chicagoan. Let me say that name right. Ditka. Ditka. Ditka, 89. Any other team, too. Mike Ditka, that was the coach I grew up seeing the most as a young man. And
oh, really?
Good, bad coach, all those things here or there. He's a Hall of Famer. None of it matters, our opinions or anything. It's just, you know, all take. I grew up seeing an energized coach on the sidelines, so that's what I've always enjoyed. And it really starts with him. Let's see here. Some people no longer with us, like Dawn Wells. She was Marianne on Gilligan's Island.
Aww. I liked her. She was probably my favorite character on that show.
I think that was my mom's, too. I think, yeah. Erin Morin, born in this day in 1960, passed away in 2017. She was Joanne Cunningham on Happy Days. The great Peter Boyle, born in this day in 1935, passed away in 2006. He was Frank on Everybody Loves Raymond, where a lot of the younger generation may know him. But for many of us, he will always be the monster in Young Frankenstein.
Mel Brooks, yep. Spoof of Young Frankenstein.
So dang good. Again, I grew up loving Gene Wilder. One of my, you know, top 10 influences was Gene Wilder. But that movie and that influence doesn't happen without a Peter Boyle to play off of and everything. And to this day, my whole life, anytime I hear Putting on the Ritz, I will immediately think of Peter Boyle. Oh, God. Just such a good actor. So good. And one of the greatest guitar players, one of the greatest, you know, rock stars of all time, Chuck Berry, born on this day in 1926, passed away in 2017. Many people that know a lot more about playing guitar and music, and they will can say this and speak to this better than I can, but musical genius, right? Yeah. Chuck Berry. When we talk, I don't like when they say the king of rock, because there's multiple kings of rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, for many people, they will say that Elvis is the king of rock. I got no issue with that, but I would quote the king, who would be the first to tell you that he learned almost everything he knew from Chuck Berry and Little Richard and those guys. So, and those guys would tell you, I learned everything I learned from Muddy Waters or somebody. Yeah. You know, some it's all influence, and it's all, you know, opinion. I don't think there's any wrong answer, but it is fun on when, you know, we get to celebrate these people to kind of mention these things.
Yeah.
And one more time, we want to wish a happy 42nd anniversary to Pam's cousin, Kathy and Bob Meyer.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Happy birthday to Sarah Sweets.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Bailey Flowers.
Happy congratulations.
We want to encourage you to head on over to Misty's. Get yourself some Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. You stick around, take a listen to Melissa's news, and while you're head on over to Misty's and enjoy some great food, and wish them a good morning from all of us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. 8:34 on the clock. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Dr. Pepper has something interesting they're up to.
Uh-oh. Don't ruin Dr. Pepper for me.
You and some many others out there, and some more that we're thinking of, I'm sure. There's been a growing trend of boozy canned drinks like Hard Mountain Dew and Lipton Hard Iced Tea. And just the Coors is basically water with no, I'm just kidding.
Well, like, they have those beer sodas.
Yeah, right.
Weird.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper is putting out a limited edition bourbon flavored soda called Dr. Pepper bourbon flavored Fansville Reserve. My God, is that a long title?
That's a mouthful.
It features, quote, a sweet, savory, and woody notes with subtle hints of cherry, vanilla, chocolate, and caramel.
Okay, I don't hate this.
Well, let me just wrap one last tiny bit, maybe important to some, maybe not to others, point. The catch is that it is non-alcoholic.
Actually, that makes me hate it less.
Okay, all right. To each their own. I wasn't sure.
Bourbon flavored, but non-alcoholic.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a little confusing.
Yeah, and I got to be honest. I mean, if I'm gonna taste bourbon, I better be getting a little bit of some alcohol with it. Bourbon's not bad, but I don't drink it just to taste bourbon. I drink it to, you know. So I know what you're thinking. Who wants a bourbon flavored drink with non-alcohol? This reminds me of when Mountain Dew came out with Mountain Dew with no sugar. It's like, well, what are we doing here? You just want like water to taste like Mountain Dew? Like,
Well, for people who are trying to, say, cut sugar out of their lives, that's an option. And for people who want to enjoy what tastes like an adult beverage without the alcohol content, it's a good alternative. Honestly, I think that we need more of these options.
Anytime that I think of these things, I am reminded of reality TV. I don't like reality TV, and I don't know many people that do. But it's popular.
Somebody likes it.
Somebody must like it because they're not putting it out there for nothing. They don't do these things for nothing. Very few people burn money for just to burn money. Now, most of the time, like something like this, for example, I almost guarantee you Dr. Pepper isn't planning on making their money back, whatever they spend on this. This is promotion.
Well, and it's a limited release.
Right. This is PR.
Yep. See how it goes over.
Yeah. Now, right now, this special Dr. Pepper is only available through a sweepstakes for their Pepper Perks members. So they want you to sign up for that, then do some scratch and win games to see if you win. That's kind of one of the newer things that soda companies are doing to try to get people not only to be a part of these, you know, clubs or cards or, you know, any of that stuff, programs, really.
Sign up for our subscription service.
Yeah, yeah. But how do you get people to do that? You got to incentivize them. Mm-hmm. Coming out with something that you can only get through that and only that way, there are worse ideas.
That tastes like bourbon but has no alcohol? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Why aren't you signing up?
That's my question, Melissa, because, I mean, granted, there's going to be a good amount of people that might be interested in this, and maybe a group, you know, you add on to that amount of people that just want to win this so that they can sell it on eBay and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And all that being said, you're still not going to be hitting a huge amount of people.
No. Now, if this was available for purchase, just like... even online, even if it wasn't in a retail store, if it was just available for purchase online, I'd be far more likely to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
They put up all these steps and having to go through all that? Heck no. I'm not going to try it. There's no way.
You're not alone on that either. There's so many people. And again, that's, you know, coming back to the beginning, that's why they're doing this, because they're trying so hard to get people to please sign up for these perks, sign up for these clubs. Yep. And everybody's doing it. Everybody's trying different methods, different ways.
Did you download our app for this order today? No, I didn't.
I'm not pointing the finger at Dr. Pepper here. This is a general rhetorical question to every one of these people doing these things. Why not make your products better? like Dr. Pepper. I like Dr. Pepper. I think it's perfectly fine the way it is. But you could maybe make your products a little bit more affordable, or make them this or that. There's a lot of ways around it than just doing something like this. All that being said, they got what they wanted already. We're not the only morning show talking about this.
They're drawing attention to their products.
Yep. They've already gotten their money's worth off of this, I guarantee you, even in the first 24 hours of releasing the information, just by that. Now, the added bonus is certainly getting people to sign up for the perks programs. But that's hit or miss. That you're going to get 50-50 on that one. The big one, you can guarantee people are going to talk about it. And sure enough, what are people doing?
Yep.
It's PR. That's PR 101 right there. They're also one of those the sneaky good ones at this, Dr. Pepper. Like, you think about
their commercials are funny.
They are, and they've stayed relevant. Where like Pib and like some other, you know, Tab and so many other sodas have come and gone that are similar to Dr. Pepper or made by the same company in some regards. Dr. Pepper, like with the, I mean, they're. We're getting more and more. You mentioned no sugar, and more people doing that, and more people moving away from soda. So when you see the numbers that Coca-Cola and the Pepsi company are pulling in, those are great. But the other soda companies and the other sodas are looking at that like, oh no, our days are numbered.
Well, and that's the problem with having these big, huge, giant companies that own, you know, that. It's almost a monopoly, James.
Yeah.
No, borderline.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see here. Let's get into this one too, Mel. I find some encouragement in this article, even though I can't relate to a lot of it. 54% of us are still friends with at least one of our exes, according to a new survey. That includes 17% who are still friends with all their exes. And here are a few quick stats from this poll where they asked people about this. 41% of us claim we wouldn't care if our current partner was still friends with their ex. That's encouraging. Almost 50% of people. 23% say that they wouldn't even mind if they were best friends with them. That might be a little bit tougher, but, you know, 23% of people still okay with that.
All right.
Do you delete your ex's phone numbers? 23% do it immediately. 25% also scrub them from social media. And 45% change any passwords they might know. And 21% of us would expect our friends and family to never talk to them again.
Oh, that's going a little far.
You know, especially with social media. So I will say that I actually had a moment like this, and this was, you know, 5-6 years ago or whatever it was. But I had one of these moments where you're with somebody for, you know, 3-5 years, and your friends and their Facebook friends and all that stuff and everything all intertwine. And did I delete them and, you know, from my social media right away? Yeah, I did that. I I don't mean this in a mean way, but if we part, if our relationship ends and we don't have like kids or an animal together or something like that, then it's not that I don't care about you. I wish you well, but it's not my business. Like whatever you got going on in your life from that point forward, that's your business. It mm-hmm. ceases to deal with me. It doesn't have anything to do with me anymore. So what does the information provide me? Nothing. So I don't. It's not like, oh, I gotta erase this person from my existence or you know my memory or something like that. That's literally physically impossible. I'm a grown adult. I realize that. But mm-hmm. what I can do is, you know, if they're not a part of my life anymore, I don't really need them in my social, you know, feed and all those things. But right. then they show up because your friends, relatives, or like what it was for me, my papa was still friends with this person. Mm-hmm. And then you go to your papa, your grandpa, and you're like, Papa, why are you still friends with them? And like, what are you talking about? I have no idea how to delete people. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. What you can do that? I didn't even know you could do that. Like expecting that from you others is asking, I don't think it's just asking a lot. I think it can be petty in some ways. There's a big difference of you if you are leaving an abusive relationship. That's a whole other conversation we can have. That's mm-hmm. a lot different. I'm just mm-hmm. talking about your basic relationship ends kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be different. Element of control here we could discuss. Like, I don't have control over other people's lives. Mm-hmm. I can only control my own. Mm-hmm. That's admittedly, you know, up for debate.
Yeah, some of us can barely do that. Yeah. I hear you.
But, you know, like, my siblings chose to remain friendly with my ex-husband when we divorced, and that was up to them. I'm not going to tell them one way or the other. Mm-hmm. They choose that. If it's impacting me in some way, maybe we'd have a conversation about it, but that's not up to me.
The fear with that, certainly becomes, even if it is not an abusive relationship, is if I'm friends with Melissa or if I'm friends with Melissa, I'm not, but if I were to be friends with your ex, and you deleted them from your friends, well, they can still see your stuff by going through my page and going into yours. On Facebook, at least. And I think almost also.
I don't know if you can go. Can you really do that?
On some. On
it
some
depends
you
on
can.
How you have your settings,
yeah.
I believe.
And I should admit, too, I haven't done this in years. Like, again, in like 6 or 7 years, whatever it's been. So it might have changed since then. It might have adapted. And you know, Facebook is. For all the things we pick on them about, they are pretty good at also, you know, changing things, you know, relatively
and
quickly.
Trying to, in some ways, protect people's privacy.
Yeah. That's another debatable. Uh-huh. You're so right. You are right, though, that they have shown that they have made some attempts at this. It was when they got their hand caught in the cookie jar that they did it. But, you know, I digress.
Mm-hmm. Right. Minor details.
Yeah. Assuming things ended on good terms, would you rather stay friends or have a clean break? The poll found it might depend on who initially does the breakup. If you broke things off, it's more likely that you want to stay friends. But if they did, maybe not.
Well, you know, I ran into this because someone I was with said, no matter what happens, no matter how, you know, this goes, we have to remain friends. We have to remain friends. When it actually, that's how, when things ended, that was not even an option.
Yeah.
It was I want zero contact with you. Like, oh, well, all right. Guess that tells me a lot about you as a person. And I'm validated. Thank you very much.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:49 on the clock. You got Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there, everybody. Mm-hmm. And I want to dive into this one with you, Melissa. I think this is an important conversation, and it's certainly appreciate the amount of feedback that I've gotten from not just our listeners, but from just Wisconsinites in general when it comes to this subject. We start with our this article out of Wisconsin Public Radio from WPR, and a shout out to Jonah Belkix with the great reporting. After 18 months after Wisconsin added a new law requiring the state's middle and high schools to teach the Holocaust and other genocides, a group that trains teachers on the topic has covered more than half the state's districts. Samantha Abramson is an executive director of the Holocaust Education Resource Center in Milwaukee. She recently talked to a WPR and a number of different outlets about this, saying how the center has trained teachers from 232 school districts and plans to cover the other nearly 200 districts this year. Quote, we physically drive to the different regions across the state, she said. We are training teachers on the best practices in Holocaust education, knowing full well that this content is so profoundly important for our students in Wisconsin, but also really, really complicated and hard to teach. In April of 2021, Tony Evers signed into law a bill that requires public and charter schools and private schools in the voucher program to include this teaching at least once between the fifth and eighth grades and at least once again in high school. Quote, the histories and lessons of the Holocaust are being lost. The bipartisan bill sponsor, State Senator Alberta Darling from Republican out of River Hills, said in a statement last year, future generations must be taught about what happens to make sure it never happens again. Mm-hmm. Aberson also went on to talk about the importance of this. Quote, they're helping train the next generation of leaders who are going to help us prevent future genocides. There is also the comment of how much this creates empathy in our young and helping them move on and learn more. This learning in schools could counter an increasingly threat facing younger generations, neo-Nazism, white supremacy, and other hate speech in social media.
Yes.
Go ahead, Melissa.
You can't deny that we have seen a rise in hate speech, it's a really, really important and difficult topic to discuss. And if we don't learn about the Holocaust, if we don't teach the next generation of what happened in our past, we are in danger of it being repeated.
This is not uncomfortable for me to talk about. This is not difficult for me to talk about because I've been doing it literally my whole life. I've dealt with anti-Semitism my whole life. I have dealt with people, Holocaust deniers, my whole life. As recent as 2 weeks ago, I had somebody email me after one of the conversations that Terry and I had, emailing me about that they sent me a bunch of links about how the Holocaust didn't happen and that Jews are whiny and that we're whining about this and these things and that other races just need to toughen up. And everything
that women just boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's 2022, and these things still happen. There's a rise of these things that has happened in recent years too, with the emboldenedness of certain things. And that's not a political thing. That's not a pointing the finger thing at one particular person. This is a society thing. The way we get in trouble is when we just point the finger at one person. It's that person's fault. They're the blame. Nope, it's everybody. It's all of us. Mm-hmm. We let this happen under our watch. This is on all of us. History is not going to look back and just point the finger at one or two people. They're going to look back at all of us. And we're going to talk history. We're going to talk about not repeating history. Then we got to look at that part of it, too, and take some personal responsibility as well with this. Because I feel the one thing I do cringe about is the idea that this has to be, there has to be a law for this. Like, that bothers me. The fact that you've got this rise of people, you're so concerned about what your kids are learning in school, but you're doing so little to actually find out what they're learning in school. You're just listening, you're just reading headlines or these kind of things and not actually like talking to teachers or spending time in the classroom or these things. And the idea that, well, we don't want to make kids sad. Well, what are you talking about?
Mm.
That's history. History is littered with this. It isn't just Jewish history. It's American history is littered with this. And this is, if you lie to children, how are you going to expect them to believe us? How are you going to expect them to know what the truth is?
Mm-hmm.
It has never been more important in our society to know, to have what the when you look up, when you Google what truth is, sticking to that definition and using words properly. It's on us to do this for the younger generation. I'm not putting this on politicians or media. I've lost hope in those things a long time ago. I have not lost hope in my fellow Americans. I have not lost hope in my fellow human beings. That is where I'm putting the emphasis on. I'm done worrying about that other stuff. That we can do something about ourselves. We can choose who we put in the office. We can choose where we get our news from, these things. Mm-hmm. That's on us to do. And if I can say, too, this isn't just my people. This doesn't just matter to my tribe. This matters to everybody. This affects mm-hmm. everybody. For one, yeah. many thousands of Americans that were not of Jewish faith gave their lives during World War II to fight the Holocaust, which some people yes. are denying. So you're denying it not just to Jews, but you're denying it to all those Americans, all those of other religions and everything, and other countries that came in and battled to face this evil. That part of it is incredibly important. And mm-hmm. look, I'm sorry to take it this route, everybody, but if they got their way, do you think they would have stopped with us? Like the goal was to have a race of blonde hair, blue eyed people. Let's say they get that. They got all that's left on this whole planet is just a bunch of blonde hair, blue eyed people. Then it becomes, well, yeah, but that blonde person's got curly blonde hair. Oh, that mm-hmm. person's blue eyes aren't as blue as mine.
Aren't blue enough.
It'll never yeah. be enough. It's not about no. us. It's not about the races. It's not about the things they quote unquote hate. It's about them and their own personal hatred and their own personal mm-hmm. problems and own issues. Mm-hmm. As a Jew and somebody who helps control the media, let me tell you that these silly stereotypes that exist in these things that. A lot of this stuff, I don't battle hate with hate. I kill hate with kindness. I kill it with sarcasm. I kill it with comedy whenever I can. And then there's another end of things where you kill it with knowledge and information, and that is vital to this conversation. There's another layer of this I want to touch on, and it's a local one, and I think it's incredibly cool. As the teachers have been going around and sharing this information about the Holocaust, it has unearthed some other history that I don't think a lot of people understand and realize. And there's a great article that you can listen to on Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org, where they talk about Jewish resettlement in Wisconsin after World War II. Jewish immigration to Wisconsin dates back to the mid to late 18th century, but it was after World War II that about 1,000 Jewish survivors of Nazi Holocaust called the state home. And Wisconsin was a big part of where people settled after World War II, taking in immigrants. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin has an incredibly long, proud, strong history when it comes to this. And as much as we take pride in the dairy industry or the cranberry industry, we can take pride in this. This is something else that Wisconsinites can take pride in.
Yes.
And it's a really interesting, just if you like history, I mean, all this other stuff Mel and I have been talking about putting aside, even if you just think that, you know, Wisconsin history is cool, I encourage you to check it out because it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Again, you can find that complete article at WPR.org, and a big shout out to them with the great reporting as always.
Yes.
Wanted to get into a little bit of our schedule here at the mornings on WFHR. Melissa and I, of course, hanging out today. Tomorrow, Katrina Hintner going to be joining us.
Nice.
Yeah, Katrina Hintner from Family Natural Foods will be co-hosting with me. That'll be a lot of fun. On Thursday, mm-hmm. we get the team together. Melissa and Seth and I are going to hang out and have some fun.
Yeah, we got to figure out what we're wearing for Halloween still. Yeah, you guys shot down my pumpkin spice latte idea. So.
I don't know. If we can't come up with anything else, though, that might be what we do. That's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun show. And then on Friday, we get the band back together. Terry John's going to be hanging out with us. Looking forward to that. As I mentioned, Caitlin Riley from the Director of Communications and Outreach with the Wisconsin Beef Council will be our first guest on Morning Magazine today. And in part two, Terry John's from the United Way going to be here.
All right.
Looking forward to that. Tomorrow, Mayor Shane Blazer are going to join us in the first part of Morning Magazine. We'll have Wisconsin Rapids Community Media there to record. And in part two,
excellent.
Our good friend Mike Hittner from Historic Point Boss will be with us. We'll talk about the Spirit Walk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's all coming up. We'll be back with more fun here on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.